Good morning, everyone. I'm very excited to be here this morning, and I'm very thankful that I get to share just part of my story. First of all, I would like to thank Shelley Ubbink and the rest of the Women's Committee for allowing me to be up here this morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Brittany Simmelink, and I was born and raised right here in Cedar Grove. Growing up, I did not attend church, and Jesus was actually not a part of my life. Actually, it wasn't until March 3rd, 2019, that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. For those 21 years prior to that date, Jesus was working in my life. I just hadn't noticed. Now looking back, I realize he was with me, holding my hand every step of the way. Before I start, let me tell you a little story. About 7 months ago, I was struggling to find a home church and a place where I felt like I belonged. So I started praying, God, please surround me with loving and supportive people who can help me grow in my faith. I prayed this over and over and over again. At the same time, I started hearing the same song on the radio over, over, and over again. It was Lauren Daigle's Rescue, which is an amazing song, by the way. If you've never heard of it, I suggest you take a listen. Anyway, one line that stuck out to me goes like this. I will send out an army to find you in the middle of the darkest night. It's true, I will rescue you. Every time I heard those lines, I felt the Lord tugging at my heartstrings, saying, dear, I'm building your army. You just need to open your eyes and let me in. At first, I started rejecting those feelings, and I thought, this just happened to be a coincidence. I'd heard stories before about the Lord speaking to people in ways I never thought it would happen to me. I think after about hearing that song for the 20th time, I got the hint. I said, okay, Lord, I hear you loud and clear. So I opened my eyes and my heart, and I started to see the amazing army he had built for me. Once I finally realized all the amazing people he had brought into my life, I was in complete awe. Now fast forward to about 4 weeks before today. I was procrastinating from writing my testimony, and I had no clue where to start. Doubt started creeping into my mind, and I was getting so frustrated. So I grabbed my phone and went on Facebook. Great idea, right? So I started scrolling through videos, and a performance of Lauren Daigle's Rescue immediately came up. I immediately said, okay, God, I hear you again. After getting that reassurance, I immediately knew what I was going to write about. So this is a story about how the Lord built my army. I'm going to be completely honest with you. Growing up in Cedar Grove was difficult, mainly because I felt like an outsider. You see, I didn't attend church, and because of that, I always felt judged. I felt like whenever I was out, I was walking on eggshells, afraid that I was going to be judged or ridiculed because of my absence from church. What made it even more difficult is there is not one, not two, not three, but four churches in Cedar Grove. So I felt like I had no reason not to just choose one. But you see, even from a young age, I didn't feel comfortable with attending any of those churches because I could sense the tension between them all. I would hear people saying things such as, oh, such and such goes to that church, and this is what they're doing wrong. And did you hear what happened last Sunday at that church? I felt very confused because I didn't want to be a part of all the Cedar Grove drama. But I also wanted to feel like I belonged and not like an outsider. When people asked me which family my church attended, I'd always change the subject, because the last thing I needed was my family's name circulating the Hollander hotline. I also dealt with some family issues during my childhood, and it's safe to say I think we all have. I like to compare it to a house. You see, on the outside, the grass is mowed, the bushes are trimmed, and the windows are washed. And when people drive by, they think, wow, their house looks amazing. They must be doing well. When in reality, no one knows what's going on the inside of that house. No one knows about the stains in the carpet, the rips in the couch cushions, or the holes in the walls. Everyone just keeps driving by, and no one bothers to stop and look inside that house. We all experience issues like these. We put a mask on, we don't let anyone else in. And that's exactly what I did. Growing up feeling like an outsider and constantly having to wear a mask carried into my relationships in school. During my elementary and middle school years, I was known as the shy, quiet kid who kept to herself. I also never had a solid group of friends. and I bounced from friend group to friend group, and I never really had that true sense of belonging. Eighth grade year changed all of that. The Lord surrounded me with a solid group of Christian girls, and that's when he started to build my army. These amazing ladies are, you may know some of them, Jenny Clairbout, Nicole Veltorst, Abigail Levy, Kaylee DeRider, Madison Scruce, Ashley Navis, and Hallie Schroeder. These seven girls didn't know my past, my insecurities, or my failures, but they loved me anyway. Day in and day out, they are there for me, showing me the love that I didn't deserve. Their constant love continued throughout high school, and because of that, I was able to break out of my shell and slowly start building my self-confidence. Senior year rolled around, and it was the time of year when Fort signups were going around. I had no intention on going, but my friends insisted that I go. Nicole bugged me every single day, and I couldn't understand why. I thought it was because she wanted me to be on the broomball team because she knew that I'd crush the competition. But now looking back, it was because they loved me. They wanted me to experience what they had all experienced before, the love of Jesus Christ. So I went. Starting the first night there, I experienced something I had never experienced before. There was no judging, arguing, or hatred. It was only love, transparency, and joy. Saturday night, we were sent to our cabins to have a group discussion, and I will never forget what followed. I opened up and took off the mask I'd been wearing for so many years. I told them about my childhood and the difficulties that came with that. It wasn't just those seven amazing girls in that cabin, but also an amazing woman by the name of Jody Cott. The Lord had added another member to my army. After that Fort trip, I continued to meet with Jody and get involved in Bible study. I finally felt like I found a place where I belong. Senior year came and went, and so did graduation. Soon, I was off to college. I left for the University of Stevens Point with the intention of majoring in social work. I was there for a total of about a week before anxiety like I never had before crept in. I experienced panic attacks. I wasn't eating and couldn't even complete a simple math assignment without struggling. It was to the point where I was on the floor of my dorm room, unable to move, and in that moment, I decided to come home. So I came home and took some time off. This was a difficult moment for me because the army that the Lord had built for me, well, most of them were gone. But little did I know what the Lord was going to do. November of 2016, I accepted a position at a bank, part-time as a teller, and in June of 2017, I started to go back to school online to get my associate's degree in business management. During this time, I was doing well. I had a job, I was going to school, and I had amazing friends. But I was still wearing that mask. On the outside, everything seemed great, but on the inside, I was still struggling. I was really wrestling with the Lord. I knew I wanted what I experienced at Fort, but didn't know if I could get there because of my past and my insecurities. April 2018 is when I started attending church. It was because of a simple invite by another member of my army, Madison. So Easter Sunday, 2018, is the first time I attended church. Because of that invite, I was reconnected with Jody and gained more members of my army. From the outside, things seemed like they were doing even better now. I had a job, I was going to school, I had great friends, and I was going to church. I'd finally done it. I thought, now people will finally accept me, and I won't feel like an outsider anymore. In that moment, I felt like Charlie from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory when he got the golden ticket. I finally figured it out. I finally found the golden ticket. What was I wrong? I was still battling with unresolved issues from my childhood, doubts, fears, and self-confidence issues. But I still kept wearing my mask. August of 2018 is when my life came crashing down fast. The team lead at the bank that I was working at quit, so I stepped into her position and started working more hours. I was starting my toughest semester by taking 8 classes, and my grandmother, who was one of my best friends, was placed in hospice, and we didn't know how much time she had left. My anxiety came back, but this time it was accompanied by its friend, depression. For the next month, I kept my mask on and acted like life was great, when in reality, it was falling apart. September 20th, 2018, my grandmother was called home to the Lord. And during the weeks to follow, I kept my mask on and stayed strong for the rest of my family. When in reality, depression was taking over my life. There would be days where I couldn't physically get out of bed. I was losing weight at a rapid pace. And sleep was my new best friend because it would numb the pain. To be honest, I didn't want to live anymore. I wanted this pain to end, and I had no hope that it ever would. So I started thinking of ways to end my life and what would be the easiest way. This was all going on underneath my mask, and I was hiding it so well. I did not want anyone to know because I didn't want to be seen as weak. I also refused to let the Lord in. I was ashamed of my past. I didn't want the Lord to see the inside of my house, the stains in the carpet, the rips in the couch cushions, or the holes in the walls. I built up such a wall around my heart so that love could not come through. I stopped reading the Bible and praying. I thought, why even bother? I'm not going to be on this earth for much longer. I started asking questions like, does the Lord really love me? If he truly loved me, why did I have such a rough path? Why wasn't he there for me when I was younger? Why wasn't he the father that I needed him to be? Why did he abandon me? I had hit rock bottom. During this time, I was still occasionally attending church, and after service, Jody came up to me and asked, how are you doing? I haven't seen you in a while. I promptly answered, I'm doing great, just been busy. But Jody knew me too well, and she could see straight through my lies. The conversation that followed was a tough one. I removed my mask and let Jody see the inside of my house. As soon as I let her in, I began thinking, what is she going to think? Is she going to be mad because I didn't tell anyone? Does she think I'm weak? Does she think I'm being serious or just trying to attract attention? Her response was nothing but love and compassion. She was honest and told me she didn't understand what I was going through, but that she was going to be there for me and love me through it. She also made it very clear that I needed to see a medical professional, and to be honest, that's something I wasn't comfortable with. I mean, I had a difficult enough time letting Jody in, and now I have to let my doctor in? No way. I fought the idea for about 2 weeks until more members of my army started to reach out, and I finally scheduled an appointment. October of 2018, I was finally diagnosed with anxiety and depression. I was put on antidepressants and was told it would take about 6 weeks to start feeling the full effects of the medicine. I walked out of the doctor's office relieved. All I needed to do was take my medicine and everything was going to be okay. That was easy enough for me. I was going to be back to the happy-go-lucky Brittany that everyone knew. Fast forward about 6 weeks later. My medication was working. My mood was getting better. I was slowly starting to eat again, and my sleeping schedule was getting back on track, but there was still something off. It was at this point that the Lord introduced me to another member of my army. But the thing is, I had known this person my whole life. This person was my Uncle Pat. I was encouraged to reach out to him by multiple people. You see, Pat also suffered with depression and anxiety, and he was always very open about his struggles. So I reached out. I told him everything. Every insecurity, fear, and doubt I ever had. He responded to me with love and also told me his story. His struggle with depression, watching my Uncle Doug pass away from alcoholism, the same disease that almost took his life as well. I finally felt like someone understood, someone knew what I was going through. At the end of our conversation, he gave me something that said helped him through his darkest times. That something was a serenity prayer. For those of you who don't know it, it goes like this. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. At the time, I thought, this is ridiculous. This isn't going to help me. I took it and shoved it in my nightstand drawer. Now looking back, I realized that was the Lord's first knock on my door. He wanted to come in, but I was refusing to let him in. About 2 weeks passed, and I met with Pat again and asked me if I had done anything about the prayer. I told him I haven't really looked at it, and I honestly didn't think it was going to help me. Pat told me to take a leap of faith and just try. So I taped it to the mirror in my room, put a sticky note in my car, and taped it to my computer at work. Slowly, the Lord started putting these words into my heart, and I didn't even know it. As the Lord was working on my heart, Jody invited me to church in Grafton. On that day, the pastor's sermon hit me differently. I can't remember what he preached or what songs we sung. All I can remember is that the Lord was knocking on my door again. But this time, I was ready to let him in. So on March 3rd, 2019, I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. As soon as I opened the door, he extended out his hand. I grabbed it, and I have never looked back. That leads me to where I am today. People say I'm a totally different person. Since I grabbed onto the Lord's hand, my life has made a complete 180 turn. I'm much more happy, have a positive outlook on life, and I'm always looking for ways to share the gospel. During my journey, one question that I frequently asked God was, why me? I didn't understand why I had to go through all this junk until recently. James 1, 2 through 4 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Every challenge that I faced made me more and more hungry for the Lord. He placed the most amazing people in my life and gave me an army. My army showed me the love that I had been lacking for so long in my life and led me to Christ. If the Lord had not made me have such a difficult past, I wouldn't have grabbed onto his hand so fast. Let's say I didn't grow up in Cedar Grove, didn't feel like an outsider, and had no family issues whatsoever. Well, I wouldn't have a reason to run to the Lord, now would I? With that being said, I'm still not 100%. There are days when depression takes over my life. We need to understand that depression and anxiety are real medical conditions, and that it's okay to get help. Trust me, I fought it for the longest time. I didn't want to be seen as weak for getting medication and seeking counseling. But you're not weak for getting help. You're actually brave because you know that you need help and you're taking steps to get your life back. Those steps may seem more like baby steps, but we have a tendency to forget how important those steps are. You see, when a baby takes its first step, we praise them, and we are so happy for the progress they are making, for we know that those steps will turn into walking, which will turn into running. We must remember that for ourselves. Eventually, our baby steps will turn into a walk, run, and eventually a sprint. We just need to remember to praise those baby steps. For those of you sitting here fighting any mental illness, you might be shaking your head right now thinking, it's not that easy. Trust me, I know. You are important. You have a purpose. You belong on this earth. And more importantly, you are loved. If you are struggling, please reach out. Have those conversations. I know they can be tough, but just take that leap of faith. If you don't have anyone or don't feel comfortable talking to anyone, please know that I am always here for you, and I truly mean that. Just recently, I realized that I had not let the Lord fully into my house. You see, on the outside of my house, there's a vestibule. I have let the Lord into my first set of doors, but not the second. I have let the Lord into my life, but not into my heart. And he is patiently waiting, slowly starting to open the second set of doors. I know that as soon as I fully open the second door and remove my mask, he will start to remove those stains in my carpets, sew up the rips in my couch, and repair all the holes in my walls. And I've also realized it's tough. It's not easy to let someone in and see all your ugly. But I know that if I fully trust him, he will help me open those second set of doors. I just started this journey, and I know it's going to take time. But that's okay. God will fix these things on his time because, after all, it's his story. Lastly, I encourage each and every one of you to take your masks off, even though it's not easy. Stop hiding behind the lies and truly let God into your heart. We, especially in Cedar Grove, tend to mask our emotions and don't want anyone to see our ugly stuff. Our ugly stuff, whether it's an abusive childhood, an alcohol addiction, pornography, drug addiction, depression, anxiety, the list goes on, but that does not define us. What defines us is who we are in Christ, and he's the only one that's going to help us through the ugly, help us fix the inside of our house. For me, he gave me an army that showed me love and grace. I don't know what it is for you, but I encourage that you open the door, grab onto his hand, because once you do, there's no looking back.
Thank you, Brittany. That was absolutely wonderful.